Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
So it's Devil Leap of the Week. That's the day of the week where we go through the dumbest things that have happened in politics. And we will discuss them, the live group, the Fed Haters Club, which you can join by going to joingml.com. They are going to vote on what the dumbest thing was, and then we will officially crown the Dumb Leap of the Week winner. And then we'll have the big Dumb Leap of the Year celebration at the end of the year. All right, Dumb Leap number one, it is Mike Johnson. This first one is going to be Mike Johnson proclaiming that he is a wartime speaker. He regards himself as a wartime speaker of the House. And we'll listen to him talking about that and then something else he said, and that'll be the extent of the warring that we talk about today. Here's Mike Johnson.
Look, we are in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times, as has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced.
All right, that's enough. First off, that's that first video. A wartime speaker, in a literal sense, by the way, because America's at war? Or because some other countries are at war, in which case, basically all speakers are wartime speakers, because there's always someone warring around the world.
He said this is unprecedented.
This has never happened.
This is the most dangerous time we've ever been in.
Therefore, we have to spend roughly $95 billion, and that will take care of it. Problem solved.
Well, on top of the $150 we already spent.
Yeah, all the other stuff, and then the $3 billion a year that we already give Israel on top of that. Yep. But $95 million even. It should be done.
We give Israel $3 billion a year. We just learned yesterday that Google's contract with Israel is $2.1 billion.
Mm.
So basically we pay.
We give Google. They use different money for that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about that. Mm. Here's some more Mike Johnson.
Yeah, look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage. I could make a selfish decision and do something that that's different. But I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten that I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. My son is going to begin in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is so many
live fire exercise for wartime speaker Mike Johnson.
You can't convince me that's not AI.
He looks like AI.
God. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, his hair, there's not a single hair out of place.
No. The glasses are just to conceal the eye. AI is not great at eyes that great yet. It's pretty good, but normally you can tell with the eyes. So I think that's why they put glasses in the computer, in the software, over the top of his eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing, he used the word axis of evil, and I didn't realize it was 2003, but apparently we've dialed the clock back 20, 21 years, something like that, because we got China, Iran, and Russia, and the axis of evil.
And Putin's just going to march through Europe.
Mm-hmm. It's so... Putin can't even make it through northeast Ukraine, but we're supposed to believe that he's just going to not only march all the way through Ukraine, and then he's going to march through Europe after that.
He can't make it because of the United States support.
We gave him that money.
We gave him bullets.
Yeah, that could be partially true. Let's say that's partially true. Yeah. Sure. We've allowed
them. Do you really think Putin would attack Poland? Or a NATO ally? There's no way.
I don't.
There's no way. That would be the stupidest thing that guy could do. And unless he could be, you know, like a Hitler type person where he just wants to see the whole world burning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily a win for, you know, he doesn't care about winning. Just that the fact that the whole world's burning, that's possible. But
I don't think that's it.
No.
Is he a good person? No.
No.
I don't think he's Hitler, but he's also not a good person. But I mean,
we just learned he jailed one of his political opponents.
Sure. Okay. Of course, yeah. Of course he
That's
did.
That's in the tyrannical playbook.
What are you talking about, Biden or Putin?
Oh.
Which one are you talking about?
Putin.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. I thought we shifted
Don't
on.
Confuse
to
that with
topic.
Biden price
yeah,
hikes.
Sorry. Biden price hikes. That's what he's blaming everything on in Russia, probably, yeah. The Biden price hikes. Okay. The other thing is, before we move on to dump leap number two, I tweeted this out yesterday. When it comes to this $95, $100 billion, whatever it is that we're putting out there, I've had no one explain to me, and I've seen no one explain how $60 billion to Ukraine is going to turn the tide of the war and stop Russia in its tracks and regain territory for Ukraine, that this is somehow going to solve the problem. It's just another $60 billion in 6 months, end of the year, maybe something like that. They'll need another $60, $100 billion, whatever it is, and we're just going to keep milking it. We're just going to keep doing it. With Israel, even less so, I've heard no one talk about how Israel is in this dire financial condition and they just cannot fight off Hamas unless we give them $15 billion or whatever the number is.
Here's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
We'll solve all the problems. Let's print $100 trillion dollars.
Okay.
And just give everybody
all the
money they could possibly need.
Yeah.
For every country, and we'll just build this thing up.
Man. Problem solved. Why not go for total peace?
Yeah.
You know, why are we doing
half
measures?
Give Russia some.
Sure. You know? Sure. Keep them happy.
Yeah. Well, how many countries are there?
Too many. I don't know. 300?
Close to 200?
I don't know. Can someone get us a number? I don't know how many countries there are.
I think it's close to 200.
Yeah.
So let's print.
Are you talking developed nations? Or?
No, I'm just saying let's print $200 trillion and just give everybody a trillion.
Okay. That sounds
and then,
good.
And then it's fine. That should solve, that would be everything. They would solve homelessness with that.
No more homelessness.
They would solve war problems with that.
No hunger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would there be inequality? We solve inequality?
There'd be no religion.
Okay.
Too.
All right. I gotcha. Huh. No possessions?
No possessions. Okay. Everybody would, well, except for the trillion dollars, everybody would have a trillion
dollars.
Everyone
would have dollars in their possession. Okay, yeah. That's dumbly number one. We got to go. Dumbly number, speaking of, look at this segue, natural segue right into something that Nina Turner posted. Now, she's probably right about the first sentence, which honestly is better than she normally does. So congrats to Nina Turner. She says American elected officials have billions for war. This is in response to the money that we're about to give out mm-hmm. that we were just talking about. Dumbly number one. How about that? Then she says, meanwhile, and she posts a screenshot of an answer from Google. How much would it cost to end homelessness? And you know how Google kind of gives you the answer at the top. This is the screenshot of that answer. It says, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, it would cost $20 billion to end homelessness in the United States.
For one day.
It wouldn't even, I mean, even PolitiFact is like, no, it's not even close at all. Okay, but this, I try to imagine being somewhere, someone who's got, you know, the amount of followers she does, and she's on TV a bunch on some channels that no one watches, and she spends a lot of time talking about this stuff, and then actually thinking the $20 billion is going to end homelessness. Let me just give you this little example right here. This is the yearly budgets for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. You know what one of their jobs is? Housing.
It's
one of the
homeless, ending homelessness.
It's in the name, making sure that people can be housed. Mm. It's like one of their main jobs, actually. It's why it's in the title of their department. You just say from 2015, they're spending $45 billion. They're spending for a little under 50 for a few years. Right now, it goes up to 2023 at around $63 billion. Their 2024 budget is $72 billion. And this quote that she posts out is from an estimate that HUD made in 2012. And that's when they said that ending homelessness would cost $20 billion. Since 2012, Housing and Urban Development has spent $600 billion, and their current budget is about $30 billion more per year than they were spending in 2012. Yet people will still grab a screenshot that says HUD says it would cost $20 billion to end homelessness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to listen to the experts.
Yeah. How does that not trigger like an error in someone's head. Like, oh, they spent $600 billion since they posted that it would cost $20 billion.
And we still have homeless.
And we have the same amount of homelessness that we did at that time. I think the total homelessness is...
I'm about to be homeless.
Yeah, look at you. You know, not chronically homeless, but temporarily, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. That's why you're keeping that flag for warmth, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta cover yourself. Okay, number three, we can go real quick. We just talked about this yesterday. So we would tell you to go back to yesterday's episode and listen to the last 10 minutes. Or I put a clip up on YouTube of this conversation from yesterday. What is it, Charlie?
All right, Robert Reich III. Look at this chart. This is what the Trump tax cuts for the rich have done. This is what they want to double down on. It's a scam in plain sight. And he posted a chart from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, CBPP.org.
CBPP.
CBPP.org.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite websites.
Basically, it shows that the top 1% saved an average of $61,000 in federal taxes, while the lowest quintile saved $70.
And therefore...
That is an income disparity.
Therefore, the rich... Mm-hmm. Benefited more
yes.
from the Trump tax cuts. By the way, these are households, not individuals. So that's important for the next thing, which is also what we talked about yesterday. The idea is, well, look, the top 1% benefited way more than the people in the lowest quintile. Mm-hmm. But, Charlie, what do we know?
They did this in dollar amounts rather than percentages.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually found out that the bottom 50% of taxpayers saw the most benefit.
Yeah. On a percentage basis.
Yes.
For what their tax percentage was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you use
they
dollars,
were already paying nothing, and they paid more nothing.
A little less than nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the best way of looking at it. It's the top 1%. Now, this is per taxpayer, not per household. The last one was per household. So per taxpayer in the top 1%, the average income taxes paid is $653,000. And in the bottom 50%, it is $667, and that's not even the lowest quintile.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lowest halftile.
That is point. Is that a 0.1% of what the top 1% play?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, 0.1, I think.
Yeah,
what that would be. And so, yeah, it turns out that when you cut taxes, even if you cut it the same, let's say that you cut it by 1%, and I'm not saying one nominal percent. I'm saying 1% lower than what it was. The people in the top 1% would see the largest benefit in dollars from the tax cut itself. So, yeah, this is just lying. That's what that's called. Oh, nice. Now we get the chief.
Speaking of lying.
Yeah. Segwaying like nobody's business in here. Let's get the chief, Warren. Where's she at?
It's been a while since she's been part of the Dumb Bleed.
It is. It's finally time. There we go. We need some input from the Native American community.
She looks Indian.
Let's talk to her.
Green text on iPhones, they're ruining relationships. That's right. Non-iPhone users everywhere are being excluded from group texts, from sports teams chats to birthday chats to vacation plan chats. They're getting cut out. Missing out on plans and conversations. And who's to blame here? Apple. That's just one of the dirty tactics that Apple uses to keep a stranglehold on the smartphone market.
Yeah, blame the
Apple
fruit.
Has used its monopoly on smartphones to lock Americans into services and amass billions of dollars in profits. Apple even takes a cut every time you use Tap to Pay and has blocked a new app that would have let Android users finally use iMessage and get those blue texts. That's why last month the Department of Justice sued Apple for its broad-based exclusionary conduct. And that's the right thing to do. It's time to break up Apple's monopoly now.
We can just end it here. This is it.
Honestly, man.
We don't need another one.
We have it so good if Chief Karen herself is
a
out
senator
there.
Senator.
Yeah, out there.
Of the United States of America.
She's talking about green text excluding people from conversations. And I just want to say, first off, if you get left out of conversations and they tell you it's because you have an Android, they're lying to you, you suck, and they don't want to talk to you. Okay. That's the actual answer.
Or sometimes because you
because
have it. Sometimes because you ruin the group.
I mean, it does ruin group messages. Let's be honest. Mm. I'm in, you know, like with Lacey's family. Someone in there doesn't have an Apple. And when you hit like something, you know, like you like it, it says, Nate liked this, this, this. Like it's really terrible to have someone ruin your message. But guess what? We still talk, and there have been no conversations about a separate group text message with only the Apple users where we can talk about family business with our blue text messages because we're just talking because we care about talking to each other. I'm just telling you, if they're keeping you out, then you're just not important to them, and that's the problem that needs solved in your life.
No.
Okay?
No, we need to break up Apple's monopoly on iMessage. That's what we need to do.
This is the thing that she's concerned about?
This is the problem this we thing. Have.
This is the thing.
Apple's exclusionary practices. This is discrimination.
It is. It
discrimination is. Against...
this probably disproportionately affects minorities, I bet.
Yeah.
We need to look into this. Mm. You know, we probably got civil rights violations with this one. Okay. Everyone knows why that's dumb.
Apple's entire job is to try to make billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they're going to have every company has exclusion. Like, hey, we want you to work with us,
mm-hmm.
not anyone else, because like we want you to work with us. And if you work with us, you get these benefits.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
do you guys know that this microphone right here, this Shure SM7B, doesn't work as well as easily with this Rode soundboard that we're using right now? You see, Rode has specific buttons you can click on that just change all the settings to where it sounds the best with the microphone that you select. This Shure SM7B is one of the most popular microphones out there, but there's not a button for it. You know why? Because Rode has a bunch of their own microphones. And so
good quality microphones.
They're good microphones. They're fine, but you can plug those in, and you can hit a button, and it makes that microphone just sound amazing. You see me? Like an idiot. I have to go into the settings, just look and make a fool of myself.
And it's green text.
Clicking buttons. The text is a different color. It's all messed up. Honestly, it is discrimination. No, yeah. People, yes, Apple iPhones are made to communicate better with Apple iPhones. It's easier. It just is. It's more secure. All right? It's less customizable. You don't get to put your, I don't know, widget wherever you want.
Do we have to go on?
No.
I think this
is it. Let's go. Yeah, we do. This is, breaking news, everyone. I got to let you know. We'll spend a minute on this one. Breaking news. Sorry, we have to cut into our regularly scheduled programming to let you know that Trump just looked at something on a cell phone and then he handed it to his attorney during the Hush Money trial. Let's dig in deeper.
Mm.
Trump. To get into the story, this is the entire story, not the caption on the photo. Trump just looked at something on a cell phone, and then he handed it to his attorney, Susan. Susan is his attorney's name. Okay, you can now return to your regularly scheduled programming. That was Dumb Belief number 5.
Was that the whole article?
Yeah. That was
it. Oh, man. See, you have to be in speculation news business these days. You can't just...
Well, you know, let's expand on this.
They're reporting on a fact there. I mean, looked... As far as I can tell, he looked at a phone handed it to his attorney.
I'm just getting word that Trump has shifted slightly to the left. Okay, everyone go back to your regularly scheduled... Look at that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
Expand on this. What do you think was on the alleged cell phone?
Hmm. Might have been Stormy's OnlyFans.
That's probably a picture of Stormy Daniels. That's what I'm guessing. Yeah, that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He opened up his secret photo app and was showing her photos that he keeps of Stormy Daniels on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I wonder if they ever saw this one. You know, and that was it. Mm. That was the whole story. Yeah, that's what I figured it was, too. Maybe it was a picture of the nuclear launch codes that he took, you know, when he still had all the documents.
Maybe it was a blow-the-way selfie of himself.
Could have been a D-pic.
Yeah.
A Trump.
Like, want to see why Stormy Daniels agreed to this?
It was Donald.
Susan.
It was Donald's Trump.
Suzanne.
I don't know, Suzanne.
Donald's Trump.
Anytime you say first name, possessive form, and then last name,
yeah.
Like you guys want to see Charlie's Thompson?
Yeah.
You know what it sounds like.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's move on to dumb bleep number six. It turns out saying the words... Did you know that we have a racist podcast, by the way?
We do?
Yeah.
Liberty?
No. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning is a racist thing to say. I know that you're not up on everything here, Charlie, so I think it's best we go to some of the experts in the field and we talk to this person and we see what they have to say.
So let's talk about where the word good morning originated from. Good morning. All right, so during slavery times, when the women used to mourn about their child being taken away and sold to a different slave master, or if one of the family members did something that resulted into them getting whipped or killed, most of these things used to happen in the evening time when a child was sold off or somebody was getting whipped for something. The black women used to cry all night behind it. Not even just the women, the black people in general, all the black slaves, male or female. When something happened to a family member or a close friend or anything, they used to cry all night behind it. And when the slaves used to cry about what happened all night long, the white slave masters, the oppressors, will wake up in the morning time and they'll tell the slaves, did you have a good morning? Basically, did you have a good cry out? Did you do enough crying last night because of what happened to their family member a day prior? So the white oppressors came up with good morning as a mockery towards black people during the slavery times when they used to cry and mourn and grieve over what happened to somebody when they was whipped or killed or taken off to another plantation.
Took it off.
So it was their way to make fun of the black slaves crying.
Oh my God.
So we're going to have to take that into account, I think, when we talk about our podcast name, Good Morning Liberty, I think. Assuming that she's being serious, and I do apologize if I assumed gender, assuming that she's being serious, this is definitely dumb and definitely ridiculous. And I think that constantly giving people this ability to have a victim mentality makes them, Charlie, look around for every possible thing that could put them in that victimhood status, and all the way down to good morning, that's where we've made it. I know. I think all words are racist, honestly, because slave masters did use a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
So not as many words as like more educated people, but we'll have to look at all the different words that they used.
Yeah.
So we don't use them anymore. More to come on Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We will finish up this conversation and get into some more Dumb Bleep of the Week when we get back.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Pro-Palestinian protests have gotten out of hand at universities across the country. At least 45 pro-Palestinian protesters arrested at Yale University. At NYU, over 150. Columbia University instituted remote classes for a day and then extended that hybrid learning model through the end of the semester. Former President Trump's hush money trial, pretty uneventful on day one, ending early for Passover. The first witness, David Pecker from the National Enquirer, did take the stand. He is set to take it again today. A judge has declared a mistrial in the criminal case against 75-year-old Arizona rancher George Allen Kelly, who's accused of fatally shooting a migrant on his property near the U.S.-Mexico border. Corey Myers, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Okay. All right, are you good?
I was looking up where good and morning come from.
Mm.
So
yeah.
The etymology of the word good can be traced back to the Old English word good.
Unless the English had slaves.
God with an elongated O.
Mm.
The word is believed to have derived from the Proto-Germanic word godas, which meant fitting or useful. Over time, the meaning and usage of good
found slaves to be useful.
Have evolved, but has always been associated with qualities such as morality. Is that morality? Sorry, cut off there. And good is often associated with qualities such as righteousness, virtue, and moral excellence.
Mm. Well, which those are aspects of white supremacy.
Yeah.
So
the word mourning is from an old English Fwing. Alfred, like A.E. Fwing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
The earliest known use of the word mourning is in the Middle English period of 1150 to 1500.
Mm, a lot of slaves during that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The earliest evidence for mourning is from around 1275 in The Owl and the Nightingale. Mourning is formed with English by derivation. So.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, we fact checked it live and it turns out it's true. So, okay. There's
the English. Did they have black slaves back in 1275?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure because I'm a white oppressor and I've never felt the need to look up that kind of thing. So I'm not really sure.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
I bet she's got a bunch of comments. We're like, yeah, go, queen, princess.
Yes, queen.
Yes, queen. Tell your truth.
Slay.
Tell your truth. I showed Nate a video today of this, you know, the whole your perception is actually your projection.
Mm-hmm. That so video is good, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you perceive yourself as a victim, you'll find anything
mm-hmm.
to corroborate your stance, your manifestation as a victim.
You will.
It's like you will, the world will present itself to you, and you will find that evidence.
Yep.
Which is why, you know, people talk about setting goals and doing all this stuff. It's actually really important because you can take in so much information. And so we live in a world now where somebody can sit around and think of the word good morning and find a way for it to be oppressive.
Yeah. As
no wonder, you know, when I was gone, I was walking the halls at this resort. And as I'd pass people, I would just say good morning to them.
Yeah. And you didn't realize how much you were offending them at that
time. Some people would say it back, and other people would just...
They said Venetias, probably, but...
Yeah. Well, these were, you know, they were more... They looked like tourists.
Okay.
So I was just saying, hey, good morning. I was just trying to be cheerful.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Those fellow white people saying that back and forth.
Some people seemed like they were from the Northeast, like Pennsylvania, New York. They just kept walking, you know. Other people were like, oh, good morning, and put a little smile on their face.
Yeah.
But now I know why, probably...
They were happy. They were probably from the South, and they were like, yeah. Good morning. They were winking at you.
And other people knew what this actually meant, and they clearly saw that mm-hmm. I was a racist white guy walking around.
Well, unfortunately, she let the cat out of the bag, so we're going to have to find different words. Number seven, we got to speed it up here, so we got four more, and the last one is one that you definitely have to talk about.
Okay, let's go.
So
Mark Cuban.
Number seven, Mark Cuban. This happened on tax day. He said, I pay what I owe. Tomorrow I will wire transfer to the IRS $288 million. This country has done so much for me. I'm proud to pay my taxes every single year. And he says, tag a former president that you know doesn't. Probably talking about Trump, more than likely. He then says it was the wrong number. It was actually a little bit less. He said, I was wrong by number yesterday. Got the final number, and the wire is complete. Wanted to be accurate. Do I expect all of it to be used wisely? Of course not. But I'm still proud to be able to give back to our country. I've said it for years. After military service, paying your taxes is the most patriotic thing we can do.
How much did the IRS pay him to tweet this?
There's a couple things. One, the amount of money that he paid is about 25 minutes worth of government funding. So thanks. Although his funding has already run out during the time of this podcast.
Oh, but, yeah.
It's too bad. But
he wired it, and then 25 minutes later, it was gone.
And that was it.
Yeah.
It was already gone.
It was gone.
But they would have put him in prison if he wouldn't have wired it. So this last line he said, I really take issue with. After military service, paying your taxes is the most patriotic thing we can do. Mm-hmm. Just like Thomas Jefferson intended, yeah. You know, just like the framers drew it up.
Right. Yeah.
Paying money to your government forcefully under penalty of.
If that's true.
Death.
We would all still be English.
Yeah.
We would all still pledge allegiance.
There's been no need for the revolution
in
the first place.
God save the king now.
Yeah.
You know, in all of our games instead of the Star Spangled Banner. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We would be an entire country of English.
Okay, we will we'll move on. Oh man, we got this UBI thing too. So I somehow stumbled on to UBI Twitter, Universal Basic Income Twitter, and there's people who just post about UBI all the time.
That's it.
There's the UBI guy and there's this guy. They probably sell some kind of UBI course or something like that. That's what it seems like anyway.
Yeah.
But that's all they talk about. And this guy says, have those opposed to universal basic income ever truly considered its potential? A UBI world is where bandwidth currently consumed by financial stress is instead channeled into solving global crises. Poverty isn't intractable. It's a choice we're making every day we delay UBI. And he's got this picture for those of you that are listening. It says, here's your mind, what you're thinking about before basic income. And the biggest thing is money to live, and then little things are enjoyment, meeting people, self-improvement, help community, short-term goals, stuff like that. And then after basic income, you see you don't have to worry about that money to live anymore. Now you're just thinking about helping your community, self-improvement, enjoyment, innovation. You're going to innovate for no apparent reason. You're going to meet people and set long-term goals. Stuff like that. And so this is your brain on UBI. Mm-hmm. That's how much better people would be. There's one problem with this idea, which is where would the UBI come from?
Because there's another problem, though, still, is that would become the new zero.
That's Charlie, you're just not thinking about this clearly. He's already responded to a different UBI guy has responded. Read the response to this propaganda that you just spewed out.
Try to see UBI as resetting zero, creating a new floor that everybody starts at somewhere above zero. It doesn't have to be fancy, just not absolute zero. With UBI, a deadbeat would still be cut off from a very desirable life, would still struggle in a state of relatively unfulfilling subsistence. Anybody who wants to live a better life, pretty much everyone, would have to work for it. But if they didn't, they wouldn't be resigned to abject suffering, which, by the way, is more expensive to implement than UBI, with what we pay for jail, police, hospitals, crimes. So UBI would solve
all those things.
Jail, police, hospitals. You wouldn't need a hospital anymore. Crime, poverty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. UBI is just lifting the bottom rung of life's ladder up out of the absolute muck and grime. We've already done that, by the way, in America.
Yeah. The thing that he doesn't get is that he starts off actually almost at the answer. He says, try to see UBI as resetting zero, creating a new floor that everybody starts at. Now, what he thinks is that the new floor is going to be $1,000 a month and that everything's going to stay the same, but that everyone's going to have $1,000 a month. And so that's as low as you can go. Whatever you can buy with $1,000 a month, like that's your floor life. But he's actually right in his very first seven words, where he says, try to see UBI as resetting zero. The $1,000 becomes zero, and you can get nothing more with your $1,000 that you could get with $10 beforehand. This is when everyone is getting UBI. Now, what they also,
by the way, your rent just went up by $959.
Yeah. Exactly. Now they try to, and then they're not even talking about where
we just need rent control.
Where does the money come from for the UBI? Oh, tax corporations. Great. Where do corporations get their money? Oh, they sell stuff to people. What money are people going to use to buy things? Oh, they use UBI. Oh, where does UBI come from? Oh, it comes from the corporations. Oh, where corporations get their money? Oh, see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Doesn't work, really. Mm-hmm. They try to use this evidence, and what they do is they give you these small studies where 130 people got UBI of $500 a month. That's not enough to affect the entire economy when you give 130 people $500 a month. When you give 100 people $500 a month or whatever it is, when everyone is getting this, it does become the new zero. And it is just as valuable as zero after that, because it's the new zero, literally.
You need to get, like, if they're going to do these studies, it needs to be like an entire town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like find like an isolated town, give everyone in that town and see what happens to the prices of everything.
Yeah.
In that town. Everything's going to go up.
So,
and it basically is going to be zero.
It's very important that you're on this conversation. We're going to skip through number 9 and skip to number 10. And, here we go.
Oh God.
let me see what I did here. Hold on. Let me see what happened. All right. Yeah. We'll start with number 10 here and then I'll still cover number 9. That's
all right.
Good. But Charlie, here you go.
So Biden demands the WBNA, that's wrong,
that's it.
Should be WNBA players,
mm-hmm,
paid fair share after Caitlin Clark's deal. Joe Biden is weighing in on the pay disparity between men and women basketball players and demanding that women are paid their fair share after it was revealed just how massive a pay difference there is between WNBA and NBA rookie contracts. Women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all, but right now we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. The internet lit up after it was revealed 22-year-old basketball sensation Caitlin Clark, first picked in the WNBA draft on Monday, would earn just $76,535, in her first WNBA season as part of her rookie contract with the Indiana Fever. By comparison, the number one men's draft pick, Victor Wembanyama, earned $12.160680 million in his first season with the San Antonio Spurs. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. So now, first of all, there are women, I guess. We know what a woman is. Daughter.
For today's purposes, we are assuming that there is, in fact, such a thing as women. Yes.
Yeah.
Nina Turner.
Do you know how much?
Yeah, we're about to talk. I got all of it.
Oh, my God.
I have all of it.
I just can't.
Nina Turner also posted out, it's time for women athletes to get their whole damn dollar. My God.
Mm.
And this is in response to Angel Reese, her contract.
You know, maybe if they play with the proper size ball.
They need to make the ball bigger.
Yeah. They play with a men's ball. Mm-hmm. That way it doesn't go in the hoop as easily.
Yeah.
You know, their ball goes in the hoop easier. It's smaller. You know?
Caitlin Clark. I will be honest. The contracts are lower than I thought that they were. It is. If I were Caitlin Clark, I would be like, I want legal. No one can release what I'm getting paid. This is embarrassing.
But here's the thing. The WNBA still can't afford that.
I know. Let's see. Here you go, Charlie. Here's some stuff.
All right. What is the NBA financial backing and subsidies for the WNBA? The NBA provides the WNBA with an annual endowment of over $15 million. This financial support helps cover various operating costs for WNBA teams, including facilities, travel, marketing, and administration. As of 2023, the NBA owns 50% of the WNBA, while the 12 WNBA teams collectively own the other 50%. The shared ownership underscores the NBA's commitment to women's basketball. Here's the problem.
Here's
WNBA's lack of profitability.
Let's see here. Here's NBA versus WNBA, Charlie.
All right. So the NBA revenue is $10 billion. The WNBA revenue is $60 million. Average salary is $9.6 million compared to $102,000 for the WNBA. Ticket price, $94 for the NBA, $47 for WNBA. Highest paid player, Stephen Curry, $48 million. The highest player for the WNBA is Jewel Loyd, $228,000.
You ever heard of Jewel Loyd?
Nope.
Hmm.
Never heard of her.
Sexism is what that is.
The average viewership in 2022, the NBA Finals had 12.4 million viewers. And in 2022, the WNBA Finals had 412,000 viewers. The average attendance for the NBA is a little over 17,000. And for the WNBA, 5,679.
Honestly, that number is shocking.
It actually is.
5,679.
That just ticket. People aren't actually showing up.
Yeah, probably just charity buying tickets, something like that. They buy them for their entire family and no one comes. Okay, anyway, so we got that. We got some other stuff, too. Hold on. Don't worry. Remember, this is sexism or whatever.
All right. Which league makes more money, the NBA or the WNBA? It's the NBA by a landslide. In total, there are 1,230 NBA games during the regular season. There are at maximum 105 playoff games if each series were to max out at 7 games. In a WNBA season, there are 204 matchups between teams as each team plays 34 games, 4 against in-conference competition and 3 against out-of-conference competition. There is a possibility of 35 postseason games if each series maxed out at 5 games.
Well, that's the problem. They just aren't doing enough games.
They play less games.
Yeah, they just need to do 7 times the 6 times the amount of games.
Yep.
There you go.
So we already did the revenue. They $60 million in revenue, while $12.3 million of that revenue is distributed to its players. The NBA's 30 teams, they generate $10 billion in revenue, which is up 35% from 2018. NBA players are guaranteed at least 53% of league revenue.
Huh. Okay, let's see here. We got more profitable stuff here. I don't know if this is all super important things. 2018, the NBA was third in TV advertising revenue generated during the postseason, generating an incredible $970 million. They trailed only the NFL and the NCAA in TV advertisement spent on the league.
It trailed the college players.
Yeah. It fails to be a contest when comparing to the WNBA. The WNBA fails to generate even 1% of the NBA's $8 to $9 billion in revenue. Let's see. 2022 NBA Finals had 13% fewer viewers compared to that. This was written in 20. So the moral of the story is, Charlie, we don't have to go through any more of this stuff.
All the women complaining.
Yeah.
That the WNBA players don't make as much are the same ones who will still never watch a WNBA game.
Apparently.
Yes.
Because they could fix this problem overnight if they
now,
wanted to.
I will say, Caitlin Clark may change that landscape.
Possibly.
Because in the last couple of games, Iowa in the NCAA Final Four, they averaged, I think it was about 12.5 million viewers.
I think they got... think they got like 4 million viewers, something like that. But I don't know.
We'll, like 12.5 million.
We'll check it out. We'll see who's right.
Yeah. I'm just saying if there's a possibility.
I know everyone says she's good, but to be fair, she's playing against a bunch of women. So I'm not that impressed.
I'm just saying it's a possibility that viewership could potentially increase for the WNBA.
Possibly.
Which is what they need, by the way, to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
No one is against women making more money in basketball, except for women.
They're not watching it.
Because they're not watching. They're not going.
And so the annoying part here is...
Women could solve this problem for women.
They're not going to. They want men to solve this problem for women. By giving them more money that they're not earning.
Yes.
Because apparently that's a woman's mantra these days. That's all they want
to
do.
To get the biggest return on the littlest investment.
Smallest investment, not to actually have to do the work. They just want money to show up at the doorstep.
All because they have a P word.
That's it. That's all the value, apparently, that they have, because they can't bring people to watch them play sports. And that's sad, I guess, if you're a woman and you can't even get women to come watch you. But I am super annoyed by people like Nina Turner and even Joe Biden, who are saying that they're not getting paid their whole dollar. Or Joe Biden saying that they're just not getting paid their fair share. They're getting paid more than their fair share.
Literally.
The NBA
is subsidizing.
Subsidizes the WNBA. Why don't you take away what the NBA is paying them and then see what their salaries go to? They get more than they, quote, deserve, or at least more than they've earned from the revenue for their league. It's the same thing when it came to soccer. We talked about soccer so much.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the men to subsidize the women. They are getting paid more than their actual fair share because they're taking money from the men.
And it's actually, we have given our daughters the same opportunities as our sons.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our sons have helped subsidize the opportunities.
They have.
The WNBA would not exist without the NBA.
They wouldn't. I didn't realize it was actually a part of the NBA. I didn't know that until I was doing this research that the NBA owned 50% of the WNBA.
They had to.
Yeah.
They had to sell it.
That's how they started it.
Yes. Otherwise, they wouldn't exist at all.
So, that is that's technically dump leap number 10. We skipped over number 9 because Charlie wasn't going to have time to be here for it.
But now I do.
Then we had a power outage. Charlie took care of his... other thing he had to take care of during the power outage, and now we're back and we can talk about number 9. This is something we might have talked about last year sometime, but there's this guy named Dexter Taylor who was just found guilty. Jury convicted him for making his own firearms due to the city's prohibition on ghost guns. Might be the state's prohibition on ghost guns.
Ever since I was a kid, I really, like most kind of red-blooded American kids, I was interested in guns and, you know, tanks and fighter planes and that because it was cool. And so, but maybe 3-4 years ago, maybe I became really interested in gunsmithing. Really traditional and really kind of, and possibly even leading to a second career. You know, I've been a software developer forever, but I also make stuff. Fast forward a bit. I started actually building weapons. I started building firearms. I found out that, yeah, you can actually legally buy a receiver, and you can machine that receiver to completion, and you buy your parts, and you put together, and you've got a pistol or a rifle. And once I saw that, I was hooked. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah, I started doing that. And there was no subterfuge. It's like I bought them on my credit cards under my name because they were my weapons that I built. At a certain point, the state of New York took an interest. And in April of 2022, a joint SWAT ATF task force raided my house, like broke down my door and everything. I'd gone to bed listening to an audiobook, woke up, and I heard voices that were not the audiobook. And then I heard a bang. And then I heard, you know, that kind of sound. And I saw weapon lights flickering under the door of my bedroom. So first thing I did was I said, hello, hello, hello. I thought they had the wrong place, you know, because it never occurred to me that, like, that someone quietly sitting at home manufacturing rifles or pistols or whatever would be a problem that New York State was like, we've got to go and get this. It just never occurred to me that anyone would come up in my house like that. I have a clean criminal record, right? I'm a member in good standing of my local gun range. I'm like 50 some odd years old. I'm gainfully employed. I've lived in Brooklyn forever.
He's facing, I don't think they've sentenced him yet, but he's facing up to 18 years in prison.
Wow.
For making some of his own guns in his basement.
Just another way to be racist against black people.
Now that I am in this fight, it's a fight that has to be fought. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is a civil rights issue. New York State has no more right to tell me that I may not keep and bear arms than it has to tell me I have to sit in the back of the bus. Or it has no more right to tell me that I can't manufacture weapons at home quietly. One of the most traditional things you could possibly do as an American. Then they have to tell me to enter by the colored entrance.
That man has some principles.
He does. Yeah, pretty cool guy.
And he said, if I can't stay out of prison, then I'll settle for embarrassing the liberals and progressives who run our cities.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting with his civil rights argument. I mean, I don't know if they can try. And, you know, the Bruin case was a New York case, and maybe this one could be seen by the Supreme Court as well. I mean, it is interesting that in one state you can put together some guns in your basement like a good American is supposed to, and in another state doing the exact same thing can get you put in prison for 18 years.
Ugh.
Don't we all have the same natural protected rights by the Second Amendment? And is this a Second Amendment case? And I clearly it is.
Yep,
I'm pretty sure it is. Let's get the votes in, everyone. Number one was Mike Johnson, wartime speaker. Number two was housing and urban development, $20 billion to end homelessness. Number three, tax cut benefits from Robert Reich. Number four, Chief Karen and the green text discrimination. Number five, Trump looking at his phone, breaking news. Just the ridiculous nature of that mattering whatsoever. Number six, good morning is racist. Number seven, Mark Cuban, patriotic to pay your taxes. Mm-hmm. Number eight.
Second only to being a soldier.
Yeah, that's it. Number eight, UBI. Number nine, Dexter Taylor. And number 10, WNBA, getting paid their fair share. So you got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good morning, being racist.
Just like our podcast.
Is the winner.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.